It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yo, we got some good news when it came to the practice report, or at least from the folks at practice on the field in NRG Stadium as the boys were practicing indoors, getting ready for the Jags. Noon, Sunday. You can hear that here on Sports Radio 610. Nico Collins practiced. Joe Mixon practiced. Tank Dell, Damian Pierce, and Jimmy Ward did not practice. And so that's what we're dealing with.
You take that trade, don't you? Isn't that funny?
Yes.
I would.
Yes.
What trade?
Nico and Joe Mixon practicing, but Jimmy Ward and Damian Pierce and Tank Dell not. You
know. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest. We'll see how I feel about that after the game.
Ask me later.
Exactly. But no, it's good to have, absolutely good to have Joe Mixon, Nico Collins both out there. And we're headed towards it. We're headed towards that game. In fact, Joe Mixon and Nico Ward help make the Nico Ward, Jesus Christ. Nico Collins. What happens if you put Nico Collins and Jimmy Ward? Anyways, that's too much. That's too much to go through. Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick, they're both a part of this offense that Bobby Slowick is the coordinator for, and he spoke to the media yesterday. And I found this to be interesting for more than one reason. Obviously, there's been a lot of criticism of Bobby Slowick and a lot of focus on this offense and how do you get it to be clicking? How do you get it to be, rev the engine, as I've been using the phrase. Like, how do you get that engine going in a way that you want to show the capabilities and, the full extent of the power of what this offense should be able to do? And Bobby talked about a lot of those things, but the way that he said it, I think, has us kind of intrigued. And so let's start here. Bobby was asked about how the play callers, specifically him and the rest of the coaches and the players on the field, get on the same page.
You execute, really all the way across the board. As far as last week goes, it really wasn't good by anybody. It wasn't good by coaches. We didn't do a good enough job as far as getting communicated what we want done. Scheme wise, we didn't do a good enough job. And then when we were out there, the number of times we ran a play that everyone was doing what they were supposed to be doing probably could be counted on one hand, which you doesn't matter who lines up across from you, you're going to have a rough time in a game like that. So we've made a commitment this week to we're worried about the Texans. We're ready to roll and just focused in on doing our job and doing it the way we want to do it. And let's go play clean football.
All right. So this was probably the most interesting thing I heard yesterday, and you're going to hear more. But Reggie, you and I kind of came to the same place without even talking to each other. We talked this morning about what we're going to, talk about today, and we both kind of landed in the same general area. And this, I want Texans fans, all y'all to listen. So I thought he put on, first of all, I went into listening to Bobby Slowick. I didn't listen to it all until after the show yesterday. And I'm thinking, all right, let's see what he has to say. Kind of just curious. And then time and time again, he said, yeah, we can do a better job talking about the coaches, but the players need to execute. I can count on one hand that they did it right. And you're going to hear more of that coming up. But ultimately, as I went through all this, I'm like, damn, is Bobby Slowick? I mean, it could be defined if you're harsh as he's throwing the players under the bus. I don't think it's that.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. But I think it's kind of a masterclass of making it very clear it ain't just me. It's not just me. He kept going back, and we'll hear the next one.
Yeah, I'm kind of want to tee it up.
Yeah, let's go.
So Bobby was asked what he specifically can do, and I found this interesting because the way that he goes, what he can specifically can do to help the offensive penalties for the Texans.
Our role is to ensure it does not happen. We know the rules. This has been a recurring theme for us really since camp that showed up all the way across the offense. I know the offensive line was getting dinged last week. It's been with eligibles as far as alignment, illegal procedures, motion operation. We have to get that cleaned up, and we are making sure that happens.
Okay, so yeah, we got to do a better job. But man, they've been doing this since training camp. Like it just keeps coming back to like a little burden, more of the burden put on the players. That's how I heard it.
And I'm kind of two minds about this because first of all, right, the idea of, he was asked, I think the idea of the question, the gist of the question was, as a coordinator,
yes,
as someone who's not on the field, how do you affect this? And he just was like, we got to make sure it doesn't happen. Right. And I was like, what does that mean? And I was like, is he being defensive?
Yes.
Because there's been a lot of himself, particularly because there's been a lot of criticism of Bobby Slowik early on. And I understand where that's coming from. And I understand the natural human urge and reaction to kind of want to, you know, defend yourself from that. But at the same time, I also could see that as, hey, as a team, I don't want to separate us all. We all kind of need to make sure that we get on the same page. But still, like, I would love to have an idea of what he could possibly do in those situations. Mm-hmm. But it ultimately just came back to down to, like, hey, man, it might not be as deep as we want it to be. And same line with the other question about, you know, how the team gets on the same page. It seems like he's pointed to it's not about all that. We just need to get down and actually do the thing, which would point in some ways to when it gets on the field, execute.
And I can only do so much.
He mentioned in that first one, like, the idea of, hey, how many, there was only a few plays in that game, at least on his, you know, from his perspective, where everybody was pulling in the same direction. Everybody nailed their assignments, and that's what's necessary in theory to get, you know, accomplished goals. And so it does feel like he is pointing to these guys, and that feels like in some ways a possibly accountability.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I do think we should be fair. Maybe he's just being honest. Maybe he does believe so much in what they're doing and what they're teaching that it's going to work, but the players are not executing it. Like I said, it was kind of a masterclass. It was very, you know, cleverly put together, all his answers, and you're going to hear another one here in a second where he's like, yes, we do need to do better of getting them to do the right things, but they're not doing the right things, you know?
Yeah. So you want to, this is five where Slowik was asked, is it just adjustments or is an execution that's an issue for the offense right now?
Yeah. I mean, when you're playing good football, I always think, you know, the plan you have in always changes as the game goes. Oftentimes what happens when you're not playing good football, when you're not executing, adjustments become really hard, even if you want to make them, you know, and that's not to say you won't, you still will, but really this is like, it has very little to do with what's happening if you can't just go play football the way you know you need to play it. So that's a full commitment this week to doing that.
It's uncanny. And again, maybe he's trying to make the players more accountable to how they're playing, because he said, yeah, we can make adjustments, but it's really hard if they're not playing well.
And I do think he's right in that regard. Right? Like, as whatever we want to talk about when it comes to tone or whatever, and like, that's personal preference. Like, ultimately in this space, there's going to be different ways you get to the information. I do think he's right. Right. We had a whole conversation on Wednesday where I went through my, I think admittedly a little more cursory look at this offense. Right. And some of the plays that they utilize, some of the tendencies, and they threw the ball a lot in this game. Right. And again, in week three, they did not throw the ball a lot early downs. That is right. They use motion a lot. They use some play action. And ultimately, no matter what tools you throw at it, if you're not going to go out there, particularly on the offensive line, and actually execute what's happening, none of those things are going to work. None of those plans are going to be fulfilled if you can't actually go out and do the things necessary, the foundational pieces that are necessary to get this done. And so he's right. Like, none of the scheming is going to matter if you don't get this right. Now, the one scheming that you can possibly point to is, like, actually the blocking scheme and those things, right? But even within that, I think he took a level of accountability in that somewhat as well. And where was this again? Where he was talking about the idea of tight ends getting involved with the blocking, right? I think this was Bobby Slowik in Cut 11, where he was asked, do defenders have an advantage when being blocked by a non-offensive lineman, like when Cade Stover got out there?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't get that one? It's Cut 11.
I think, you know, everyone always talks about tight ends blocking DNs, and I used to be on defense, so I get it. You know, like a coach outside linebackers, and it was always, can't believe they have a tight end blocking you. Like, that's embarrassing, you know, and all that. But really, everyone in the NFL does that. You know, you have to have variety in protections. You got to be able to do things with your front to help the front out when teams are gaming, so you're not just 5-0 all the time. You also got to be able to go 5-0 often and get the tight end out. You got to be able to do full turns where a tight end and a back are both in. Like, there's everyone does multiple protections. It really shows up when you don't execute them well, you know. And there were a number of times, you know, we had some tight ends in position on DNs that we didn't even have the right footwork from the start, you know, and that's going to be a really tough down. We know the issue when we call the protection. I would say starting point is on me. I probably did it too much, and particularly too much too early. But that, I mean, it's a difficult defense to go against, and we got to be able to handle different ways of attacking it.
It's fascinating. Like he says, yeah, I probably, you know, should do a little better. But again, they have bad footwork. They're not executing. He used that word again. And then when he's talking about these teams, like you gotta hear this when he was asked about why hasn't the offensive line shown consistency.
I think there's a lot of reasons for that. The number one reason would be the same thing. I mean, we could probably count on one hand the amount of times we're doing what we're supposed to do.
Dude.
And in the run game, that's a problem. I mean, we had unblocked players tackling us for 4-yard losses.
Which they did.
That's not how you draw it up. You know what I mean? So we got to go execute.
Literally said, that's not how you draw it up. You can count on one hand the times they did the job right. I kind of want to say, come on, Bobby, you know, take a little more accountability. But again, he might be right. He might be like, and I, here's the thing.
Every time we've tried to cut it a different way, we still come back to offensive line.
Yeah, like them, not necessarily what the plan is. And I think what Texans fans need to realize is you better hope that he's wrong, you know, because you better hope that maybe he's just had a bad start to the season and they're not designing and game planning and drawing things up the way they should. Because if he's right, and it is the players, and it's bad footwork, and it's execution, and being, not getting the job done, and only a handful of times do they get it right, well, then we got a bigger problem. Because that means your left tackle is not exactly what you thought he would be. He's a pass blocking specialist that cares more about that than anything. It means your right tackle, Titus Howard, is not what you thought he was. It means your left guard is not. It means your center is not what they thought they were. So, like, as much as he's putting it on the players, we better hope it's more him. Because if it is the players, you got bigger problems.
And I appreciate the folks that are coming in that this might be D'Amico, good cop, bad cop. But ultimately, like, regardless of what it is, I think that the essence of it is right. This offensive line is not doing what it needs to do. Now, basically, the tenor and what he's saying through all of this is we're not going to be able to be a great team unless the offensive line gets their stuff together.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's interesting because we were talking earlier about kind of the run game and how I'm kind of already getting to a point where I'm no longer holding out hope that they're going to be able to run the ball incredibly well.
And you're already there.
I feel like I'm getting there, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm already there where I'm like, yeah, I don't expect them to be a great at running the football, right? And I don't know how good they will ultimately be in that end, right? But if you're not going to execute on the line, none of this is going to be possible is what Bobby Slowick is telling me. And the way that people talked about Laremy Tunsil all week, I wonder how many Texans fans actually believe that they'll be able to do that, like, or to have the belief that he can do that going forward and that this line can be that going forward. That is the scary part of this. And so this is a challenge to that offensive line going into this week and going into the remainder of the season. You are ultimately the determinant of the aspirations and the altitude that this team can reach. And so what are you going to do against the Jacksonville Jaguars team that's coming into your house?
And from the 979, we got a comment that I think could be part of the equation as well. He's tired of just protecting them, you know? Like he's tired of saying, well, I need to do a better job and just staying there. Like literally every cut you just heard from Bobby Slowick, he ultimately puts it on the lineman. Maybe he's saying to himself, I'm going to put it out there that these guys got to play better because they're just not playing well. It's not, you know, it sounds selfish. It sounds self-serving. It's not me. It's not the system. It's not the scheme. They're not playing well.
And also within that, and maybe this is the hopeful point of it, it's not the lack of ability.
Right.
Right? It's just they're not doing it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we know that they should have the ability to do this, and I think we feel comfortable in the idea that they do have the ability to do a lot of the things that are being asked of them. They need to get out there and do it, though.
Yeah.
You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Football Friday as we careen, we get closer to Sunday, noon, at NRG versus the Jaguars. It will be live here on Sports Radio 610, as all Texans games are. 9 a.m. is when Sean and Seth are getting going on the pregame show, and they'll take you to well after the game. It'll be Sean and Clint finishing this thing out and giving you instant reaction, interviews, all those types of things, as we always do here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about time to get some lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, so you've heard me say this before. I think Figgy said it before. I think we've all said it before.
I don't know. Don't speak for me yet.
Well, you will say it, I'm sure, at some point. Kind of feeling a John Metchie game, Figgy.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
For I was the, like, I don't know what you're putting on my name yet. So.
For the
you
seventh.
Put some money on it?
No. No.
You want to bet your house on it?
No.
Lopez's.
No, I don't.
Lopez's hot locks.
Let's bet your boat on it.
That's no way.
He wouldn't bet it. He's like, house? Nah. Boat? Absolutely not. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
House is in play. Boat? Absolutely not. How many times have we said, kind of feeling John Metchie this week?
Here we go.
All the time.
All the time.
Let's go. Well, I mean, now with Nico, I do wonder how much. I mean, he probably was still
Tank's out.
Yeah, Tank's out.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm kind of feeling a Metchie game.
Come on, Metchie.
It should be a Metchie game.
It should be a Metchie game.
If everything play all right, it should be.
And I'll say this. If he plays and gets the snaps.
And if those boys on the line are going to.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But if he plays and gets the snaps and doesn't produce.
Yeah.
We might have the book written on
and
him.
And when I mean don't produce, if he like drop a pass, an important pass
or just has like two catches for 12 yards or something.
Yeah. That like ain't gonna a lot cut of it. Missed opportunities. And then it's like, damn. Man.
Well, I got to admit though, man, I'm kind of feeling it. Kind of feeling Metchie for the 17th, 18th, 19th time since he's been here.
You don't feel like Charlie Brown a little bit?
A little bit.
All right, so during the course of this week, y'all know about the Chicago White Sox and their pursuit of being the absolute worst.
What are they doing winning?
I don't know why. They got a little sweep going at the end of this thing, which, hey, I guess if that's how y'all want to handle it. But during the course of them losing, and actually on the day that they got their record-setting 121st loss, which was the most in modern baseball, most since the 1900s, I believe.
Yeah.
121 losses in a season. During the course of that, a couple of Southsiders, a couple of White Sox fans had a marriage proposal, which went viral during the course of that game. They were basically behind home plate.
Okay.
And my confession is I truly, Hunter and truly believe that you should not propose at a sporting event.
100%.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that there's ever a reason for you to propose at a sporting event. I think that there's always a more romantic place to propose than a sporting event.
You deserve to be told no.
I
don't care how diehard fans both of y'all are.
Yeah.
There's got to be a place that's one, less public, and two, like, more sentimental. There's got to.
Well, there's got to be. And but
I know it's going to be a lot of people to text in and say, oh, that being at a game is sentimental to us, and that's where we met, or our first date, or something like that. I just never liked that.
It just doesn't seem to fit. Like, generally, in a real proposal, I know those are real, but like in other proposals.
Wow, put on the X-Files theme. He thinks that they're all contrivances.
Married. They're not really married. No, like, generally, like, she wants to look good. They want to have the right environment. You know, she cries, he cries, and it's just sort of a moment. That's not a moment. It's like, all right, here's a proposal. Thanks for your money. Because they have to pay for those, as you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Places are cheaper than others.
Yeah. But if you want to propose at a game, you got to pay for that.
Well, at least if you want it to be like on the jumbo.
On the screen, yeah.
I actually saw this past playoffs where somebody proposed right behind the media row. Whatever, and it was real awkward because this is not really a beautiful place to do this.
I'm with you on that.
How about this? Somebody, I seen somebody get proposed to at a tailgate. We was actually judging tailgates.
Really?
And I mean, God bless.
That's actually better. That's actually better.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at that.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool because I feel like a tailgate is a moment,
and there's family there.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I'm gonna be honest. Like, and yes, Reggie's being a judgmental jerk right now. Fair, 100%. I am that right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a better place.
Where did you propose, John?
In church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought
on the Sunday service?
On Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
We went, so the whole family was there. I told her dad, you know, in advance. And so right as they were, I forget exactly what part of the service, kind of one of the slower points. I think it was after communion. After communion. So the family was all around us, and I went down and proposed. So yeah, it was perfect. It was a power play.
Power play. In front of your family, Jesus, you can't say no.
Yeah, you can't say no in church.
You can't say no in church.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I feel like Tony Busby is doing God's work, man. This man is all over the place when it comes to some type of sexual assault,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, kind of defending women and just getting the nasty people out of here. Everywhere you see something like this, a situation like this, he is right there and try to get all the money out of these
God's
folks.
Work, huh?
I feel like he's on a mission to try to expose all the nastiness that's going on.
All the fans?
All the athletes, all the celebrities. Because right now, I don't know if y'all seen this, but I forgot how many women. I don't know if it's like 30 women.
Oh, wow.
That was connected to P. Diddy. So
that was so predictable. Why did I not think of that?
I didn't think of it either until I actually saw it. I'm like, man, I should have made it. I should have said something about it ahead of time so I could look like a genius. But he's representing like 30 women and pretty much trying to set up some type of, I don't know if it's a civil suit or.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's his brand now. Just going around and finding all the nasty men and whoever. And just trying to get money for these ladies.
Yeah, I think, his brand is, where's the cameras?
That is his brand now. Whatever big time celebrity is in the pickle.
Whoever's the new nasty man.
Yeah.
Whoever the nasty man is, he is coming around and his goal is to expose you and get all your money.
I appreciate that it's for a good cause. It still feels kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, God's work is a little strong.
Yeah.
God's work is a little
strong. Like, God's contracted out work in a way. I don't know what we're doing there. We'll workshop it. Watch this.
I almost put money on the Cowboys last night.
Ooh,
Did you almost put money on the Cowboys? You didn't get four and a half? I was texting with my son, and I was about to say, why don't you go ahead and do this, you know. So I like to watch a game with a little more interest, you know, and that would have definitely brought more interest. Boy, am I glad I did not. Cowboys up 20-15. Spread was 5.5. Brandon Aubrey, well, he's never missed a field goal before and missed this one. And, you know, who knows? We can speculate exactly why. But there were these two dudes. There were these two dudes who were, you know, gambling derelicts. Degenerates that kind of did a play-by-play of the whole thing, and it's hilarious.
No, no, no. Not like this. Any way but this. Ladies and gentlemen, we just witnessed one of the all-time Vegas phone calls.
Uh-oh.
The back door, always open. Cowboys are -5.5. Brandon Aubrey has never missed a field goal 50 yards or longer.
They put music to it.
He's wearing a Vegas earpiece. He's wearing more wires than Jose Altuve.
That's a drive-by.
This doesn't just happen. This is fake. It's staged. You can't convince me otherwise. Cowboys -5.5 bettors deserve a refund. Everyone on the field knows it. There should be protests around the country. It just so happens his first miss of 50-plus yards in his career was to cover for the Cowboys, who the entire public was on. I'm glad Dak's laughing about it, because even he knows at this point, they might as well change the letters of NFL to WWE.
Was that Joey Molinaro? Whatever.
I don't know. Let's see.
It's sad that his name, his voice is kind of familiar to me.
Yeah. They didn't even mince words.
Yeah, I think you're doing a lot. Like,
it's a fix.
It's funny. But come on, y'all. If there was one thing, I guess this could be my confession. If there was one thing that got under my skin, and I probably shouldn't say this, especially with the way that I've been trolling the Lopez all week, is like the insinuation that these sports are fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on. Like, I understand like why you have the inclination and the feeling to do that. what are we doing if that's the case? Like, what are we doing all the way around? These sports are, also, like, man, y'all see the level of incompetence that exists at the levels, various levels in sports all the way around. Y'all think that that level of incompetence is all bringing together like this giant conspiracy to script these games down to a T? Stop it.
And see,
stop it.
I don't think games are scripted. Like, I'm with you on that part. But if you watch the whole setup with it, where
he pushed this kick.
This guy was set.
What, kickers can't miss kicks now? All of a sudden you believe so much in kickers that all of them going to hit him all the damn time?
For the simple fact that this guy was setting up the kick, and Al Michaels brung it up pretty much, was saying, uh-oh, this is going to make some people upset. And he missed the kick. Like, no, this was really like a script, like this moment
it
right
was.
Here. I don't think Vegas made a call to the sideline and said, hey, you know, he got to miss this kick or anything like this.
Yeah.
But no, it's hard for me to believe that nobody was on that sideline thinking about this spread.
Also, they were.
To be fair, I think a lot of people had it at 5.5. I saw people that had it at 4.5.
I saw
so the Cowboys still covered.
It started at 4.5.
The Cowboys did
but
still cover.
I'll just answer your point about this by saying Las Vegas casino management, not exactly known for their integrity.
I mean, fair enough. I can't necessarily argue with that.
Do you think the kicker had any idea what was going on as
Absolutely.
Far as
Absolutely. I look, to be honest, you know, I'm really just kind of kidding around here. I don't think he did anything on purpose. Oh, but he knew.
he knew something.
Yeah, he knew.
Like, I don't think he's going out there had no clue.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe. Them kickers just go and they go about their lives. I do wonder how much the kicker actually keeps up with all the extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. I'm good. You good?
Yeah, I'm
all good. All hearts clear?
All hearts clear.
All right, there you go. A little lunchtime confessions here in the loop. Sports Radio 610 on a football Friday. In fact, it's a football Friday, not just for NFL football. College football coming up this weekend. Lopez got some takes on what we got coming up with the schedule. Let's talk about that next.
It's a football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, man, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. I guess I keep thinking about that too much. Yeah. I need to just walk past it. I don't need to bring attention to it. Why do I do that? Why am I like this? Why am I like this? Is the question I've
been asking yourself that for a long time.
That one, I ask existential questions of myself in times when I don't need to. Like if I'm trying to find, or if like, you know, those moments where you're like, man, what was I just doing? Instead of asking, what was I just doing? I ask, what am I doing with my life? And that's
your parents' job.
It's too much.
That's not your job. Much. That's your parents' job. What are you doing with your life?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. What the Texans are doing right now, and they're probably done with practice at this point, or maybe gearing up towards
pretty
that.
Much, right?
And when it came to practice, Nico Collins actually practiced. Joe Mixon actually practiced. But Tank Dell, Damian Pierce, and Jimmy Ward did not practice. And so I think that probably lends towards those three players not being available for your Texans on Sunday when they face off against the Jags. So that's going to be an interesting space to watch. Probably an uptick in snaps for Eric Murray, maybe some MJ Stewart in there. And then the interest is possibly on offense. Do you get some John Mechie in there?
Yeah.
That's something that we've talked about a little bit today as well. So that's Sunday. Saturday is for college football.
Baby. Yes, it is.
And I'm super excited for this week. The team that I tend to follow is involved in kind
a big
of
game.
A game that they need to win. But I'm interested. John, where are you looking at for the college football slate?
All right, so let me try to help you guys out. Because you know how college football, especially the networks, they like to put these tags on college football weekends. Like Separation Saturday. And rivalry weekend.
Yep.
So I put a tag on this one. Worth Your Time Saturday.
Okay.
It's not exactly sexy.
Yeah, we need to workshop that a little bit. But I appreciate the general sentiment that we'll work with.
It's not going to be having everybody to tune in. But it's Worth Your Time Saturday.
Unless you're a University of Texas fan.
Yeah,
it might not be necessarily worth your fan your time.
In yeah,
that. And
yeah.
Specifically if you're a Mississippi State fan, it's definitely not worth your time.
Definitely not worth your time. But let's start with this because tonight is a really good game.
I keep forgetting that Friday is now a college football.
Okay,
night.
That's where I'm going with
guys.
This.
I only have so much time.
Yeah,
you're killing me.
And we need to get you out more. We've established
how am I supposed
that.
To do that when I'm inside watching all these damn games?
Yeah, we've established that in the breaks, which maybe we'll get to next week. We really need to get you out more. But anyway,
what are y'all doing out? Let me see if I can be out with the people or something.
Yeah. So you got a Heisman Trophy leader going tonight.
Cam Ward?
Yep. Virginia Tech Miami is tonight. Do you like Friday night college football?
I haven't watched enough of it to be able to say that I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy midweek college football.
Like a Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on what's happening, it's nice to be able to
I love Thursday. I hate Friday. Friday's I hate Friday night.
Yeah, Friday's a move and shake night.
Yeah,
man.
I feel like Saturday is the start. Should be the start.
Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday and then Saturday, obviously the big one. Friday, and people always say, well, you know, it's reserved for Friday Night Lights. They're taking away some of the thunder. There's something to that.
Correct.
Because I'm past that point now because all my kids are in their 30s.
Oh, you said F them kids? Okay, got you.
But no, I'm saying if you have anybody in 7th grade and above in your family,
well,
Friday night, right? 7th grade all the way through senior in high
school. You're playing, what, Wednesdays, Thursdays?
Yeah, Tuesdays. Yeah. But your Friday night, you got no shot of watching a college football game on Friday night if you got kids. I hate them. I absolutely hate it. I don't know what, my better half has planned for us today, but I'm going to try to watch some of this. But there are no guarantees. And this is a good game, Virginia Tech Miami.
Yeah, I'm not watching no Virginia Tech football this year.
I kind of want to see Ward.
It's fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be a jerk. But watching Cam Ward has been a delight. And that's going back to him last year at Washington State. Mm-hmm. I forget where he had come from before. He might have been. Was he in state here? Cam Ward has been a delight wherever he's played. And yet and still, I don't know if I'm going out of my way to watch them play against Virginia Tech. That's the tough part about the ACC this year is that I don't know that there's a lot of games and teams within that really get my blood boiling and get my blood pumping in order to watch it, especially on a night that does not feel like a traditional college football day.
Yeah. So let's get to Saturday and some other games of note because there is a huge game in Alabama. On Saturday. And you probably think I'm talking about Georgia, Alabama.
That would be a big one. That'd be a really big one.
That's the headliner, right?
I think so.
It's not the most important game, though, in Alabama. Oklahoma is going to Auburn. Both these squads. If Auburn loses.
When Auburn loses,
I agree with you. Like, he might get fired midseason, Hugh Freeze.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know.
That doesn't happen a lot in college.
Yeah, the tough thing about getting fired is that we also have to talk about multiple different aspects of what's happening with that program.
Mm-hmm.
Because wins and losses matter, but also where are they on the arc of the project, right? Are they early on?
Yeah.
And then also now we have to talk about boosters and what kind of school it is, right? Is this an 8-win school where the expectation is there, mm-hmm. or is this an expectation of a 10-win school or whatever? And Auburn does not have, or Shelly should not have, super high expectations. And I think that Hugh Freeze has the ear and the hearts of the boosters in a good way, especially because he's trying to sell a long rebuild. Like,
good luck.
They did not actually go. They didn't go out and support their team with talent from outside, as it seems like teams do now in the transfer portal.
Yeah,
which that either is quite a heat check or an understanding that I got time.
Yeah.
And I think that it's probably the latter for Houston.
Good luck, though. Now, clearly, Georgia-Alabama is the absolute headliner of the weekend. But here's the thing. Why I feel like Oklahoma-Auburn might be more important. Like, we talked about Auburn. Hell, if Oklahoma's starting a freshman quarterback, and I believe they're down four or five wide receivers.
Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries there. And I don't know that the offense looked great before that necessarily.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've been dealing with a lot of adversity. But Oklahoma's a team with a very, very good defense. Brent Venables has finally done it, right? The thing that he was doing great at Clemson that he mm-hmm. brought with him is just being able to be that defensive guy.
Yeah.
Oklahoma typically an offensive team, and they had the young quarterback, and now they're going with Michael Hawkins, Michael Hawkins Jr. And I do wonder if he's going to actually latch on or if this is going to be one of those things where you tried a young guy, he played well, and then you play him again, and it's like, hey, that was just a one-time thing. This is not going to be where you can lay your head necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be, that's going to be the interesting story for me, is like, did they make the move that's going to be, it's going to stick for them, Oklahoma, when it comes to that quarterback? And I mean, it's, to be fair, I don't know how much offensively they were going to be able to get, as you mentioned, with all the injuries they had.
Yeah, so that's why I kind of tagged this worth your time Saturday, because Georgia-Alabama, doesn't matter who loses, they're both going to be in the playoffs. So really the one that's worth your time is Oklahoma with all those injuries and facing a desperate Auburn team. That might be worth your time. Other games Saturday that are going
to
be...
Before you move on, I did mention Cam Ward, Texas. He did go to UIW before he ended up at Washington State. So shout out to Incarnate Word. And someone else said Cam Ward went to West Columbia High School in West Columbia, Texas.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I kind of feel sorry for Illinois-Penn State. Why am I talking about Illinois-Penn State? That's a good game. It's two ranked teams. No one's going to watch it, though, because it's going against Georgia-Florida. I mean, Georgia-Alabama. It'll be going against that game. But
I think that'll be the full handing off of who is the cream of the crop, who is that program in NFL, college football. Mm-hmm. And we knew at this point that Georgia is that. I think that you're going to see that in full.
Yeah, but... either one could lose and they're still going to make the playoff. Well, unless Georgia loses also to Texas or Alabama loses to somebody. But still, I think that it's not going to be as impactful as before. Louisville-Notre Dame is definitely worth your time. It's an elimination game from the postseason, I think.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Because Louisville, even though they haven't lost, they might have a hard time getting in. And Notre Dame with two losses... ain't getting in.
Yeah, and Jeff Rom's done a great job there at Louisville. Like, it always felt like kind of a step back from where was he at Purdue. But he's definitely brought something there where they can compete in the ACC. But it gets tough when it comes to them, especially with the way their schedule is laid out, if they're going to lose to a Notre Dame team like there.
Yeah. And then your former school, you started out your collegiate career at Kansas State.
Correct.
Don't sleep on Oklahoma State, Kansas State. This is going to be a fun game.
This is an elimination game.
And
this
an elimination game and an 11 a.m. game. That's how you're starting your day. Isn't that a great feeling? You got a really good 11 a.m. game rather than Rutgers against whoever, you know, or whatever.
I just love having, give me at least one of those types of games in every window, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you at least have that one to start. But yeah, Kansas State, they took a little bit of a beating going to BYU, and BYU did what they do, man.
Yeah.
They were tough defensively, and of course, late game out that way. It seemed like Kansas State did not react. Young quarterback made some mistakes. I think that they get their get back when it comes to Oklahoma State. Who, that Ollie Gordon thing?
Yeah,
that is done. He was like the best running back in the country last year.
Yeah,
that is not the same guy anymore.
Oh yeah, I know you like Kansas State, but do you like this team?
I am not sure yet. Like, I think that they should be capable of competing in this Big 12. I like them to that degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun game. And there's something special about, you know, you watch game day and then then you get right into a big time 11 a.m. game. Go ahead.
Are you going to come local at all?
I'm going to come local right now.
Okay, excellent.
I think it's worth your time. Definitely going to be worth my time. Is Arkansas A&M. That game is going to ruin a lot of moods. It's gonna game. Now it might be Arkansas moods.
Yeah, especially on the afternoon show.
Yeah, and it might be A&M moods, but both these teams sort of like showing a little something, but not really. Against higher quality competition, like it's a swing game. It's a swing game for both programs, Arkansas and A&M. And I'll be watching, of course, but. I might just be in a really bad mood Saturday night.
Yeah, that's kind of tough for you. Yeah, that's definitely
really
tough for you.
Bad mood.
I am interested in that game. I don't know exactly what to expect from it, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa State Houston as well.
Iowa
State ranked number 18. Mm-hmm. I think Willie Fritz is getting Houston a little bit better than I anticipated early.
Really? I don't. I don't.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Man.
No, and... I don't know how much it's actually saying. I don't want it to say too much because this is a Houston program that is going to go through some rough times early, and Willie Fritz is not known to be a quick rebuilder.
Yeah.
But I was impressed, and maybe I shouldn't be, the way that Houston played against Oklahoma. Maybe that's more about Oklahoma and, you know, the down place that they had been in their season. But I think Willie Fritz is already kind of, you're already starting to see some of these things congeal a little bit better than I at least had imagined, especially after that first week where it was like, oh, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be bad. And I was like, okay, maybe I got a little too down on him. So I'm interested to see if they're able to put up any level of fight against Iowa State. And let's see where it really is to start in this Willie Fritz era.
Hey, go to the game and get some of those trail tenders, man. That's what I always tell people.
Those are good.
Yeah, that is a home game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Just go for the trail tenders.
Maybe I should go to TDECU Stadium.
Yeah. And then one more.
Let me go look at tickets right
now.
Once
you finish, you can dip out.
Well, one more because I used to.
When you finish the game or the tenders?
The tenders.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, all right.
I'm just here for the tenders. And then one more real quick, exclusively local. And that I love this game. They used to be Sam Houston against Stephen F. Austin, and I always did color commentary over at NRG. Shout out to Chris Santiago's alma mater.
Okay.
Texas State.
Yeah.
Sam Houston State.
At NRG, baby.
In that building right there. You want to watch college football? You want to take your kids and watch some good college football? Go to that game. It'll be fun.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. A local one that matters. So I'm excited. Texas State, a lot of noise around them possibly joining the Pac-12 and those types of things. So yeah, I'm excited for this. Yeah, it worth your time.
So worth your time Saturday.
Worth your time.
I think this is going to be a thing. I got to come up with a tag every Saturday.
Yeah, this is a worth your tag weekend. worth your time weekend to get the alliteration of the W's, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I like what we're doing there. A little college football with you here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. But let's get back to the most worth your time on the weekend, which is Texans Jaguars. Let's go ahead and lay it on the line. The Texans win because, Texans lose because. What are the factors that will decide whether the Texans get a victory or ultimately a loss on Sunday versus the Jags? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.